Yay! I'm sorry, ladies, if I blow you out of this room today. My hand mic coordination is a little bit rough, let me tell you. As Janae said, I have the privilege serving here alongside my husband at Spectrum Student Ministries. How many Spectrum girls do I have in here? I know I have a few at least. Ooh, girls! Ooh, I see you! Awesome. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I was using the mic in Spectrum, and I was going a little crazy on stage, and I happened to chip my tooth. So just pray for me. Pray I don't chip any teeth today. I had to get my nail filers, saw it down a little bit. I also have an 8-week-old, okay, and his name is Brixton, and he's super cute, but with having an 8-week-old, you don't really have time to go to the dentist right now, so yeah, I just got that little nail file out and just solder on down, so if you ever chip your teeth, not really bad, but just a little bit, the nail filer kind of works, so just so you know. Well, good morning, ladies. I am super, super excited to be here with y'all. I have been praying over this event. We have been preparing for this event for months now. And today, this morning, we're going to be talking about gossip. And it didn't really come to any of my surprise that this event filled up so quickly. Look around you. I mean, we have a full house this morning. And it didn't really come to any of my surprise that we filled up so quickly. And I think that's because a lot of us have either been hurt by the words that someone has said against us. Maybe they've said something against your character. Maybe they've said something falsely about you or your family, right? We've all been affected by gossip and slander, right? But unfortunately, we've also been on the flip side of that. And we've also hurt other people with our words and with gossip and slandering against them. And so I know that we all have been there. And so this morning, let's be all in it together, ladies. Can I get a hoorah, ladies? A hoorah, yeah, ladies. Let's be in it all in it together and just take the time to really dig deep within ourselves this morning. That's what we're going to be really focusing on is ourselves. And really just to take the time to dig into God's word and to see what he has to say about our own words. This morning, I've titled this message, Gossip from the Garden, and we'll be looking at a few things. We'll be looking at what our words are capable of, where they come from, and how to tame them. So those are the three things we'll kind of be digging into. But first, can we pray? Yes. Awesome. Oh, dear Lord, thank you so much, Father, for today. Thank you for who you are, God. Thank you for bringing all these women here. Thank you that we are a band of sisters that can stick together, Lord, and can come and just be together and come to hear what you have to say, Lord. I pray that you would speak to every single one of us today, Lord. I pray that you would speak about the words that we've been speaking. And also, Lord, the way that we are to react to those words that have been spoken against us, Father. I pray that right now your spirit would just come, Father, that you would just give us peace in this place, God, that you would eliminate all distractions that are outside of this place just to focus on you and your word, Lord. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, all right, ladies. Japanese doctor Masaru Emoto conducted an experiment, and what he basically did was he took two beakers of rice. I don't know if any of you have heard this before, but he took two beakers of rice, and he basically said to one beaker of rice, I'm going to speak positive, encouraging words to this beaker of rice for 30 days. And you might say, okay, that's kind of weird. Okay, but then he took the other beaker of rice, and he said, I'm going to take this beaker of rice, and I'm going to speak words of hate. So every day for 30 days, he spoke words of hate to one beaker of rice. And he would say things like, I hate you, you're ugly, you know, negative words. Now, on the contrary to the other beaker of rice, he spoke words like, I love you, and words that were endearing. Well, after the 30 days, he went back to go see what the rice had done. And interesting, but not surprising, the one beaker of rice that he had spoken negatively to began to rot, right? It began to rot and turn black. And now, on the contrary, the one that he spoke words of endearment to, words that were positive, that beaker of rice, not only was the rice still white, but it also started to ferment a sweet smell. And so it's kind of interesting, right? Like these two beakers of rice. And now, if grains of rice are affected by words, how much more so are we? And so today, we are going to be going through Genesis 3, 1 through 5. So if you have your Bibles, you can flip there. And the first point we'll be looking at today are words in the garden. Words in the garden. So Genesis 3, 1 through 5. Okay, verse 1. So now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." All right, so here's Satan coming up to Eve, right? And the Bible describes Satan as being what? Clever and crafty, right? So here he comes, he's coming and he's scheming this master plan, right? And if I'm Satan, I'm kind of thinking like, okay, maybe I'm going to pull some fruit from over here, from this tree, and I'm going to pull some fruit from over here, and maybe some fruit from the middle, and I'm going to kind of put them all together and, you know, maybe trick them into eating it. You know, it's like that classic, put some spinach in your children's smoothie, they'll never know, you know. Like, it's, you know, it's one of those things, like, you know, us mamas are clever, we know. Like, that sounds like a pretty clever plan to me, right? Like, just trick them into eating it. But no, that is not what he does. And it says that he had an even more clever tactic, one that would impact mankind forever. And who does he target? Eve. And what does he do? He speaks. Can I just say that us women, we love to talk. Am I right? Can I get an amen in here? Yes, we love to chatter. Statistics says that we will speak 20,000 words a day, and we will average 13,000 more than men. We're like, oh yeah, we know that. We know that all too well. And so it's really no wonder why Satan didn't really go up to Adam, right? Because all he would have gotten was, you know, you have Satan. Did God really say, and then Adam, what? And then, no, did God really say, huh? All y'all ladies laughing out there, I know it's because you either have husbands that do that. My dad did that a lot too. And so, but that's why, I mean, so really, the Bible says that this was Satan's clever plan to speak. And why was it so clever? Because, ladies, our words have power. Right. They have power. Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences." Right. So Satan, he chooses to speak, right? And he chooses with his words to deceive, to manipulate, to gossip, and to slander God in the next four verses. And just like that, sin would enter the world. In three statements, the state of the human heart is changed forever. In three statements. So tell me, ladies, that our words do not have power. Gossip and slander leads to the grave. It will steal from people's lives, kill people's identities, and destroy people's worth. Isn't it crazy that in the very same garden that God spoke to life, Satan would destroy by speaking death? So we have to understand that our tongues can either be like Satan and bring death, or we can choose to speak life like Jesus. So in daily conversations, ladies, really dig in today. In daily conversations, what words are coming out of your mouth? When you're speaking with a close girlfriend, what words are coming out of your mouth? Are you building other people up? Are you tearing them down? Are you talking about, does your whole conversation turn into you talking about other people? Because isn't that what the enemy wants? He wants us to stop focusing on ourselves. Because really, that's where the problem starts, right? So we start talking about other people. So really, what words are coming out of your mouth? We have to understand that the power of our words, we have to understand them first and foremost. So once we understand that, we really have the power to either speak life or death. After that, it's even more crucial to understand that our words are symptoms of our heart, right? Our words are like symptoms from our heart. And that's the second point that you guys can write down, the heart of the garden. So once we examine these words that are coming out of our mouths, we have to also diagnose the disease within our hearts, that sin within our hearts. Luke 6:45 says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And wasn't this so true in the garden? You know, we see Satan speak, and we know that he has schemed evil, all the evil in his heart, and that's what's coming out. Now, I'm going to speak to my mamas and my grandmamas out here. As I said, I have an 8-week-old, but I also have a 2-year-old. You all pray for me. You know what I'm saying. Yes, you all need to pray for me right now. But you know, we can see this in our children, right? We can see this so clearly. You know, you'll ask them to do something, right? And especially my 2-year-old. This is what she loves to do. Her name is Berkeley. And I'll ask her to do something, and she'll look me straight in the face. And she'll look like this. And she'll say, no. Yeah. Okay, that little sinner right there. Okay, I see you, girl. I see you. Okay, but right, our mouth speak. That just comes from the sin within her heart, right? That comes from, you know, her wanting to, you know, get her way, her stubbornness, all of the sin that's within her heart just coming right out in that no. You know what I'm saying? So we can, us mamas, us grandmamas, we can all relate. We can all see this in our children, right? But that's what comes out. It's the sin within our heart. And that's really what we're going to talk about and dig a little bit deeper in. So are your words coming from what's in your heart? If we're speaking words of death, then we probably have a dying heart. And it's in desperate need of change. So it's so important for us ladies to have a prayer like David in Psalm 139 verses 23 through 24. Some of you know it. You're nodding your head. You say, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. Search me, Lord, right? That should be our prayer. Search me, Lord. I recognize that I'm speaking these words of death. I recognize that they're coming from the sin within my heart. But you know what I think is so hard sometimes is, what is that specific sin? Right? Identifying that specific sin. We know that these words are coming from our heart, and we know, I just can't stop. I just can't stop talking about that person But we don't realize, and we know, like, oh, I have a broken heart that is in need of mending. But we just can't really figure out what that is, what that specific sin is. And so I challenge you ladies today, as we explore our hearts, as we cry out to God, as we say, search my heart, Lord, ask God for the specific sins. Ask God for the specific sin or sins that are leading you to speak death. Is it insecurity, right? Are your words coming out of a place of insecurity? Is it jealousy? Is it anger? You have anger towards that person? Is it envy, bitterness? Is it unforgiveness, hate, pride? What are those? The list goes on and on, ladies, let me tell you, okay? But what are those sins? What are the specific sins that are keeping you from speaking words of life? We want to be women who, as Ephesians 4:29 says, doesn't let any unwholesome, poisonous, harmful, destructive words come out of our mouths, but only what is helpful, encouraging, and life-giving, right? Those are the women that we want to be. And you may say, well, Chantel, well, I know there are specific sins I'm holding on to, but I can't seem to figure out how to rid my heart of those things. Like, I know because of the words that I'm speaking that there's some sin that I'm struggling with. I can't really identify that specific sin, and I can't really identify how to rid myself of it. Well, that's going to take us to our third and final point. And you can write down fruit in the garden. And in order to speak life, we must abide by the giver of it, yeah. Right? We, apart from him, we can do nothing. Right. We are nothing. John 15, Jesus speaking, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it'll be even more fruitful. Good. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. So remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I love spring. How many of you ladies love spring? Yeah! But we probably don't really love the allergies that come along with it. Am I right? Yeah. Or that wind. Oh, don't even get me started on that wind. I am not a fan. But I love spring, right? With spring always comes the newness of life. We start to see the trees bloom again. We see new flowers coming up. It brings new life, right? And my mom has these really cute little dwarf, like, rose bushes in her courtyard. And I always admired them growing up. And about 4 years ago is when I got married. And so, you know, I come back to my mom's house. Well, like every other day, I'm a mama's girl. What can I say? But one day I was walking through her courtyard and I couldn't help but notice. I walked past, and girls, let me tell you, I'm not about the details. I'm not a detail person. But these roses just caught my eye. So I'm walking past and I look over, and I remember growing up, you know, admiring a few of them. But on this day, there was like millions, you know, there was like tons of them. And I was like, whoa. And not only that, they were like, you know, super big, super colorful, super vibrant. And so they just really caught my attention. And so I went in and I went in to ask my mom. I said, Mom, what did you do to your roses out there? Like, they look awesome. And she goes, oh, well, I had my gardener come and prune them. Ah, so awesome. She had her gardener come and prune them. And if we go back to John 15, Jesus speaking, he says, my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, ladies, so that it will be even more fruitful. Right? So pruning, they come in and they cut off the branches that are going to keep the bush from being full, keep it from being vibrant, keep it from growing to its full potential, right? And as I walked past those bushes, I noticed the change was visible, right? And so when we allow Jesus to come and start pruning our hearts from that sin that's within, the change will be audible. The change will be audible. So just as the change was visible with these rose bushes, when he comes to prune us, the change will also be audible. All right? And so now we go to Matthew 7:17-19. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit. Would you look at that? But a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. What fruit are we bearing, ladies? What words are we speaking? What branches does Jesus need to come and cut off and prune within our lives, within our hearts? And how will he begin to do this? Jesus, we love you. Thank you for telling us. He says in John 15, he says, remain in me. How is he going to start pruning us? How is he going to start cutting off those branches within us, those things that are bringing death within our heart that we're in, and then coming out in our words? How is he going to change those things in us? Well, he says, remain in me. Remain in me. So what does this look like practically? Because now we're kind of going into, well, okay, but what does that mean when I tame my tongue? Well, practically, we spend time with him. We spend time with him. We spend time in his word. We talk to him throughout the day. We keep in step with his spirit. Right? Because where the spirit of God is, the enemy ain't touching. And so Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Keep in step with his spirit. A co-worker starts to come up to you, and they start to, Sally. Good old Sally. Right? Sally, all she wants to do is talk about her dogs. Ugh, I hate dogs. Right? Someone's coming, they come up to you like, talking about Sally, right? Going on and on about Sally and her dogs. And you're like, you're so tempted to give in and say, I hate dogs too. Sally needs to be quiet about those darn dogs. You want to give in, right? You kind of want to gossip a little bit about Sally. You want to say, man, doesn't Sally have a life? Oh yeah, it's her dogs. You kind of want to give in, right? You want to go along with it. But this is what it means, ladies, to live and stay in God's spirit and to stay in step with his spirit, to remain in him. Practically, you're going to say in your head, Jesus, lead me by your spirit and not by my flesh. So, and then in turn, we start to bear fruit from our mouths, right? We start to say, maybe we speak a kind word. Kindness comes out of our mouths instead. Well, maybe Sally, she doesn't have anybody else. Like, those dogs are her companions. You see what the difference is? And then you turn that whole conversation right around. Because then that person is like, then that coworker is like, yeah. And it kind of puts them in check a little bit. But what it does for you is you start bearing witness to God's spirit within you, right? And so we can't bear this fruit unless we allow God to change our hearts by cutting off sin within. We can't bear this fruit without him, ladies. We cannot bear this fruit without remaining in him. In the same way that we can't bear this fruit without those things, so can't others. So meaning when that coworker is coming up to you and going on and on about Sally and her dogs, right there you can see, that person, they're struggling with something in their hearts as well. They're struggling with some sin that is making them just want to talk about Sally. Or, we can start to recognize that they are struggling with something as well, right? And so, as Christians, we have to recognize our own struggles as well as others, and at all costs, do what we have to do to not add fuel to their sin or our own. We have to, ladies, Satan ain't winning that easily. No words of death are about to come out of my mouth about somebody else. I am not about to fuel someone else's fire. I'm not about to fuel someone else's gossip. I'm not about to fuel someone else's slander. Am I right? You can, yes. We can get excited about that. You ain't going to let Satan win that easily, because that's what he's trying to do, right? That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to steal from that person. He's trying to kill. He's trying to destroy, right? And we cannot allow him, ladies, to do that through our mouths. We have to bear fruit. We have to bear witness of God's Spirit living inside of us. And so when that conversation starts turning sour, we speak words of encouragement. We speak words of gentleness. We speak words of faithfulness, right? Those are the words that we start speaking. And it starts bearing witness to Jesus within us, the change that Jesus has made within our hearts, right? And so may we be women who not only speak God's fruit, God's life, but who also lives it. So when others are coming against us, we need to turn to the Lord and say, Jesus, lead me by your Spirit. Let me remain in you. Let me bear your fruit. Let me be a witness to those around me, because that is the God that we serve. Only he can change our hearts, right? Only he can change our hearts. And we can only bear his fruit by being in step with his Spirit. So instead, we start bearing love. We start bearing love and praying for those people that have even come against us, right? We start bearing love. We start bearing peace, knowing that God's word is the one that defines you. It is not man's, right? When people start coming against you, slandering you, gossiping about you, ladies, we have to bear that peace, knowing God's word defines us, not man's. We have to bear patience with that other person in life. Maybe that coworker that's talking about Sally so much. Bear patience with that person. Lord, lead me by your Spirit. Help me be patient with this person. You don't know what's going on in their own lives, in their own hearts. So Lord, help me to bear patience. We need to bear kindness and reply with a kind word. Bear goodness and faithfulness, staying faithful to God's word for you. And that is being faithful to the Lord. Ultimately, ladies, we all are striving to live for Jesus. We're all striving to know the Lord and to make him known. Am I right? Am I right? Do I have ladies in here that are striving to know Jesus, to make him known? So if we're doing that, we are going to bear faithfulness to the Lord, right? We're going to bear faithfulness. And so when people are starting to talk about other people around us, we are going to be faithful to Jesus first and foremost. And no matter what the cost is, no matter that person's going to talk about me, if I stand up for that other person, or if I turn that conversation around and I say, you know, a kind word about Sally, there, you know, then she's going to start talking about me and talking about my cats, you know, like, you know, and there's that fear. But ladies, we have a faithful God who is faithful to protect us, and we have a faithful God who remains faithful to us and we must remain faithful to him. So today, again, what fruit is your garden bearing? What words are coming out of your mouth? Is your garden alive and giving others life, or is it dead and leading others to death? Where is the heart of your garden? Would you say that it's healthy and based off your words? When you really truly examine your words, would you say that your heart is in a healthy place? Have you allowed God to be your gardener and prune you to turn and to bear good fruit, to stop Satan from stealing, killing, and destroying not only your life, right, but others as well? We're going to wrap up here in a few moments. But before we do, I thought it was really important. As I was studying, the Lord made it very clear to me that there's many of us in here who can relate a lot to Eve this morning. Because, you see, if Satan in the beginning was trying to get mankind to fall by gossiping and slandering, and he, of course, targeted Eve, how much more so my sisters, is he trying to do the same to you and I? Right? If he was doing it in the beginning, it's true of his character now, ladies. And so God gave Adam and Eve instruction, right? And they planned to follow along. God said, you can have all of these. I've promised you all of these things and they're all so good. But this one thing, just like, don't go near it. It's going to bring you death. I love you. I love you. I don't want you to go near that thing. It's going to bring death and destruction in your life. And so they have this instruction. And I believe with all my heart, ladies, that they both wanted to do what God wanted them to do, right? Just like all of us in this room, we so desire to do what Jesus wants us to do, what God has called us to do. We so desire to follow his instruction. But we also have to realize that we are battling a real enemy here who sees that as well. Do you think he saw that Adam and Eve wanted to obey the Lord? And do you think he started to meddle and started to scheme and he starts to think, I'm not going to let that happen. See, with Satan, he is always on the prowl, right? He is preying on God's promises. He's preying on God's promises. God promises all these things to Adam and Eve. And I can't help but think that there's a lot of us in this room today who have been striving to get closer to God, right? But also know that there's an enemy who doesn't want that as well. And there's many of us in this room today that have started to listen to Satan's slander. We start to listen to the questions, right? He comes up to us and he says, but did God really say that you're loved? Did God really say that you're forgiven? Did God really say that you're free? And we start to listen, right? We start to listen to those things. But ladies, we must start calling Satan out. We have to silence Satan's slander. Satan may slander no more in my life. And may it be to you that he will not slander any more in your life. You know what you do, ladies? You start fighting with your sword right here. And you start remaining. And you say, I serve a God of faithfulness. And you say, yes, I am loved. Because God sent his one and only son for me. Yes, I am loved. And you clothe yourself in the love of Jesus, ladies. You stand on his truth. You say, yes. Yes, I am forgiven. By his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed, ladies. And you say, yes. You say, yes. I am free. I am free because of what Jesus did for me on that cross. I am free because of who God has made me to be. And he says that I can be free to be me and to be all that he's made me to be. You start standing on God's word and his faithfulness. Ladies, Satan, he ain't slandering anymore. May we be women who recognize his slander within our... When he starts coming knocking at your door and he says, did God really say? You stand on God's word. You stand with your sword. You start slaying Satan. You know what I'm saying? You start slaying Satan with this sword. And you start standing on his word. I know there's a lot of us who struggle with that. I'm one of them. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But ladies, may we start clothing ourselves with God's spirit. May we be in step with him. May we remain in him so that when Satan comes, we can fight him with God's word. We can fight him with the truth. And not only that, we can bear that fruit to others. They can see, they can audibly hear something different in us when with the words we're speaking. they say, oh man, I noticed that girl, she never talks about anybody. If anything, she always says encouraging things. I've noticed it. Have you? Have you noticed these women that are following Christ so closely and bearing that fruit? You kind of notice, you're like, man, I want to be around that person. That person's so positive all the time. That person just reflects Jesus. Y'all can hear it. Y'all can see it. And so may we be the women who bear fruit, not only for our own sake, but for others as well. So today, we'll wrap up now, but ladies, may we examine the words that are coming out of our mouths. What are the words that you are speaking today? Are they words of life or are they words of death? And behind those words, what's going on within your heart? You say, I have sin there, but what's that specific sin? Get down, go to Jesus and search my heart, God. Show me what that specific sin is. Show me. And he will. He's the God of faithfulness. He will. He'll show you. And he'll say, I don't want you to struggle with this any longer. I want to cut off this branch that is weighing you down, that is keeping you from flourishing, that's keeping you from living life, that's keeping you from not living, only living it, but speaking it as well. That's what he's going to do. Because he is the faithful God. And the last thing, we must remain in him. Remain in him. Remain in his spirit. Stay in step with his spirit so that we may bear fruit for others to see. So that we can be the world changers. So we can be the world changers for Jesus. That is what God has called us to. Right? To live for him and to make him known. How awesome is it that he's given us words? Like, he knows how powerful they are. He could have taken them away. But I know, ladies, that we are women in here who so desire to speak life and to speak it to others as well. And so thank you, ladies, so much for just bearing with me today. I didn't chip a tooth, so there you go. Yay, we can, yeah, that's exciting. But let me pray for us really quick. Lord, thank you so much, Father, for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that you do not leave us the way that we are. Lord, thank you so much that we can come to you in our brokenness, Lord, when broken words are coming out of our mouth, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that you are our healer, that you will fix them, that you will prune us. God, if we allow you to, God, I pray that every woman in here, Father, as we examine our words and you search our hearts, Lord, I pray that you would just bring forth, Lord, the sins that we are struggling with, the specific sins. Lord, help us to really dig at those things, God. We know it starts with us, Lord. God, the only person that we can change and that you can change is us, Lord, first and foremost. And so I pray, God, that you would just start changing each of us, Lord, to start bearing fruit, Lord, to speak words of life, God, to stop Satan's slander, Lord. We love you and praise you. Thank you for who you are, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you so much, Chantel, for allowing God to just speak truth through you and just showing us how important words really are. In a few minutes, we're going to move into a time of testimonies. There are a few women that just want to share a few stories with you, whether gossip impacted them in a negative or a positive way, allowing God to use that to change their lives for the better. Just like Chantel spoke, it's just words have power. And so we're going to give women just a few opportunities to share those stories.
Hello, I'm Frances, or Franny, or Fran, Francesca. How many of you watch something and you think, oh, I'm going to use this as a teaching tool for my kids? Yeah? Okay, so this is a something that I feel like God used as a teaching moment for me. I was watching a program called The Crown. I don't know if any of you have watched that. So there was one episode where the Queen was preparing because Jackie Kennedy, was going to come and visit. And so, you know, she was kind of feeling a little intimidated because here's this glamorous woman coming and she looks really good and, you know, she's got it all together. And so she prepared. So she comes to visit the Queen. And the Queen gives her a tour of the castle and has a really nice tea with her and takes her riding on her horses, and they have a great time. And she's thinking, oh, you know, we're pretty good friends. So anyway, Jackie goes back to the U.S., and the Queen hears that Jackie was talking smack about her. She's kind of, you know, saying, the castle was hideous, and her decor and the way she dressed. And so it gets back to the Queen, and she's clearly devastated. And what I really felt was interesting, or saw that was interesting, was that she, you could tell that she went through the range of emotions as one would when you hear something was said about you. You're hurt and you're crying, and then turns into anger, and then maybe a seed of bitterness starts to form there. And so anyway, she's going to come back. They had planned a lunch. So Jackie was going to come back to England to visit the Queen again. They're going to have a lunch. So the Queen is, like, you can tell she's thinking, how do I do this? You know, and she's like, I'm going to maintain composure. I'm going to act like nothing happened. I'm not, you know, nothing's wrong. And so Jackie hears that the Queen heard about this. So Jackie's like, okay, I got to meet with her and explain what happened. So she explained, and the Queen, you know, first was kind of like, oh, no, I'm fine. And so the point is, they reconciled and everything was fine. Jackie goes back to the U.S. and Kennedy dies. So her husband dies, President Kennedy dies. And so the Queen hears about this. And so what I thought was really, really cool is the Queen's response was to extend grace and love, but also did something that was not something that they usually do at the castle. And she wanted them to ring the bells in Westminster Abbey. And they only do that for royalty. And they're like, no, we can't do that. And she's like, I want you to do that. So what God was showing me was that when someone hurts you, our response can either be, we can be bitter, we can carry that, and we can be vengeful, we can be like, oh, I'm going to get back at them, or we can humble ourselves and maintain who we are in the Lord, remember who we are in Christ, and say, you know, I'm going to rise above this, I'm going to forgive, and I'm going to extend grace. I'm going to go even further and extend grace by doing something to honor that person. And that takes a lot, and it's not in our own strength, because I've been there. And there might be someone that's hurt you, and that you might even go to them and say, hey, you hurt me. And they might not respond the way you want them to. They might not say, oh, I'm so sorry, which is what happened with me. And I had to rise above that and forgive and love and even go further. So anyway, that's what I wanted to share. The Lord used that as a teaching moment for me.
Guys, it's so nice to be up here and actually see women. I'm normally used to the youth, and I come up here and they're like, you're shaking. I'm all, I'm nervous. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say really fast, Chantal, she's talking about women that you just look up to and who speak life, and Chantal is one of them. I serve alongside her in Spectrum, and she's just one of those people that has genuinely protected the youth and us leaders, and I'm just really, I'm honored. I'm so glad she got to speak today, so just give her a round of applause, please. I brought notes. My sister says I jamble. She was like, girl, you're going to be talking about puppies, and I'm all, it's about gossip, I'm sorry. Okay, like Chantel said, we all gossip, and in middle school, I was the queen of gossip. I made my friends through talking bad about people, and it's so funny because I was the one who spread the lies. I was the one who gave them the whole book. until one day I became the title. My family, our whole world was shaken. I was in 7th and 8th grade. That age is just hard enough as it is. But my whole world shook in our household. And I had lost friends. I had lost a lot. I just had lost everything, it felt like. And I remember my family's honor was put to the test. I remember my reputation was put to the test. And you would think that struggling with depression, struggling with anxiety, struggling with having to come to events and put on a fake smile, having to not sleep at night because I was so sad, wasn't enough. If that wasn't enough, there was gossip. You see, gossip wasn't the ice cream. It wasn't the heaviness. I was already going through hell, but it was the cherry on top. It was the straw that broke the camel's back. And I remember, I'm going to open my notes because I lost my train of thought. But I remember coming to events like this and feeling like a leper, feeling like I knew that they were talking bad about me. And the funny thing with gossip, everyone knows, is you don't find out they're talking about you. You know they're talking about you, but you don't find out till later. You're like, oh, I was right. But I remember coming to events and coming to church and feeling just like a leper. And I would have to scream out, unclean, unclean. I knew they were hearing things about me. I knew that they were talking about me. And what killed me the most was not at the time this girl had been talking to my friends, and then I had mothers who were calling other mothers, telling them not to hang out with me, that their daughters shouldn't hang out with me, that she was bipolar. Oh, she was going through something, and she wasn't a believer. And what killed me the most was not those who spoke evil, but by those who listened. There's a quote that says, "The world will not be destroyed by those who do evil, but by those who sit and do nothing." And that was what hurt me, is they listened and they said nothing. But it's so funny because Chantel's talking about the cat lady, and I was totally the cat lady. And I was realizing that there was one night that I was just crying to my cat because he was the only thing I could talk to. So sad. I'm all, ah! But I remember snot all over my cat, and I'm all, he's the only one I could talk to. And I was like, God, I can't. If I lose this cat, I was like, I'm done. This is the only thing I could talk to. And plot twist, the next week my cat ran away, and it was so fun. Well, it wasn't funny at the time, now it is, but God had forced me to lean on top of him. Why didn't I go to God in the first place? I encourage you ladies, first and foremost, if you're like me and were gossiped about or is gossiping, lean on God, just like Chantel said. But I remember, and I'm not going to stand here and act like a victim. I gave them ammo. I was rude. When you're struggling, you guys, I think all of us have gone through trials and tribulation. When you're struggling, you push. You push. You don't want people around you. You don't want to talk to anybody. I gave them ammo. But just because I gave them ammo, just because that woman or that person is giving you ammo, does not mean you shoot. Let me just say this, guys, is I cried and I cried and I prayed and I prayed. And I said, God, why? Why me? Why are they talking about me? And God said this, and I remember it. He said, those people are gossiping about you. But Skylar, I am standing before my Father speaking highly of you. I am an advocate for you. And I remember that. And I want to tell you guys, God is an advocate for you. These people didn't know me. They didn't know my struggle. They had no right to talk about me. God knew everything about me. He had every right to talk bad about me. He could have been like, Lord, don't let her enter the gates of heaven. That's all I'm saying. No, but instead he was speaking highly of me. I wanted to defend my reputation so bad. I wanted to text those friends and be like, oh, girl, she's lying. I'm a good person. I'm a good person. I promise. But God, I remember him telling me, he said, I will defend you. I will defend your reputation. And I also think he knew this. Not only would I defend my reputation, I would destroy the honor. You know, us women, we're like, ooh, I could totally wreck her. Like, I'm all, I know what you did last week. But then God was like, uh-uh. And you know what he reminded me was this. The people that were gossiping about me were still a child of God. You know what I love most about God, and you guys need to remember this, is God will always protect his children. He protected me. But he also protects you. When you're gossiping, God is still protecting you. And that blows my mind. But I just want to tell you people who are being gossiped about, God is a just God. I look now, it's been 5 years. 5 years, I'm all, holy moly, still being talked about. Everyone gets talked about. I'm like, okay, I talk bad about people. But I look back and I see grown women who talked bad about me who can't even look me in the face. I see these girls who can't even talk to me. And I see the guilt and the shame. Gossip will always give you guilt and shame. But I see that and I go, God, you protected me. You protected me. And they are so loved, and I wish they knew that. I wish they knew that. And it's so crazy how God gave me fruit and how I see the fruit. Yes, I have suffered consequences from gossiping, but God also protected me from that. So I just want you guys to know, don't let their words define who you are. And so that's my story. So yeah.
All right, so I brought my notes too, so I'm glad that Skylar did. So I am Noelle. I am part of the She Lives team. I lead the Run Passionately group, so if you want to come run or walk with us, see me after. But that's not what I'm talking about today. I'm just using this time for a shameless plug. all right, so I'm going to talk about something a little bit more intimate. And what I mean by that is I'm going to talk about the way that we speak about our husbands, or for you that are dating, the way that you speak about your boyfriends. So when it comes to gossip, we think about office environments, like poor little Sally with her dogs, Skylar with her cats. We talk about our friend groups. We think about our little circles, about these little groups that we even have at church. We tend to think about these women that we may know well, or we may not know that well, and we want to talk about them or talk about other men. But sometimes we don't search our hearts for the way that we talk about those closest to us, because we think we know our husbands so well that we can say whatever we want about them because we're one flesh. I'm kind of talking about myself. But are you really? How are you speaking about your husband? And so I want to share something with you that God showed me in Song of Solomon. And so for those of you who are single, I'm not counting you out. Think about how you talk about those you are close to now. Think about the way that you talk about your dad, about your brother, your mom, your sisters, your cousins, uncles, those that are close to you that you feel almost entitled to be able to speak about them and speak whatever you want to say. And for those that are married, remember that other women are watching you. Other women mimic you. I always look at other marriages that are surrounding me and that I purposely surround myself with because I think about the marriages that I want to be like. And sometimes if you're mimicking or if you're representing a marriage where you talk down about your husband, you're showing other women that that's okay. And so remember that people are going to follow your footsteps before they follow your advice. Okay, so they're going to look at what you say. If you say, no, gossip is bad, you should talk really well about other people, but then they see you talk about your husband in a negative way, that's what they're going to remember. They're going to remember those words. People will follow your footsteps before they follow your advice. And so Song of Solomon. I'm not a fan of Song of Solomon. I am not a sappy person. It's so lovey-dovey. It's over the top. Like, I have a hard time even complimenting my husband, poor thing. And it is hard because words of affirmation is, of course, his love language. But it's so sappy. And I'm more like, I want to read Isaiah because it's so nitty gritty. It has all this prophecy in it. I don't really understand what it means, but I'm trying. But Song of Solomon was in my reading plan, so I have to read it. It's God's word. And so it's really funny how God speaks to you in places that you least expect it and that you're not looking for him to speak to you. And so what I noticed as I walked through each chapter of Songs, the Shulamite was constantly being asked about her husband by other women. And she constantly was talking about her beloved. And in Song 6:1, the women started to ask, where has your beloved gone? And where has he turned aside that we may help you find him? And I started to see these words in a different light. They were a little bit jeering. Where has your husband gone? Where is he? Why don't you know where he is? Were they not maybe poking at her a little bit? Were they really offering to help look for him, or were they trying to find a crack in their relationship? Because that does happen. Sometimes we want to find cracks in other people's marriages, other people's relationships, other people's lives, because we want to feel better about ourselves. That's why we gossip, right? Because we gossip to put someone else down so that we feel better about ourselves. So those women are kind of poking at her. They might even have been gossiping about her. And the Shulamite had just gotten done saying she couldn't find him. And then she went over the top describing how amazing he is. And she was telling all the women, if you see him, tell him how much I want him. And so these women are kind of saying, well, where is he? If you love him so much, why don't you know where he's at? And for me, if my husband disappears and I don't know where he's at or he's late, my temptation is to say, I don't know. He's always late. He always takes forever to get here. He didn't come. Just the other week, we were supposed to meet there, and then he didn't show up, and then I was embarrassed. And then I had to introduce myself to all these people I didn't know, and I start to tear him down. But what did the Shulamite woman say? And I encourage you to read chapter 6. She said, I know where he is. And you kind of go, really? You just said you didn't. So she says he's tending his garden. He's tending his flock. He's gathering flowers for me. So even though she didn't actually know where he was, she was confident and trusting that he's being productive, that he's dutiful, and that he's doing something for her benefit. So instead of tearing him down, she reaffirms him once again to other women. So when those moments happen, when he's late, when he chews too loud, when he does whatever it is that annoys you, and he does it on a regular basis. My husband doesn't chew too loud, you guys. And I'm always the one that's late. But think through it. Think through it. Do exactly what Chantel said. Pray in that moment. Jesus, I want to abide in you. Lead me by your spirit. I thought that was such a critical thing to remember. You can just pause in your head. You don't have to say it out loud and weird people out. Control your thoughts and emotions. So for me, okay, he is late a lot. But he's always cleaning, and he can clean in 10 minutes what takes me an hour. And he always likes for me to come home and the house be relaxing, and I don't feel like I have to wash dishes and do all these things. So then out loud, I would say, you know, he's probably washing dishes. He's always really good about that, because then when I come home, I feel better, and it's totally worth him being late for that. He'll get here when he can. I know that he's on his way. He's probably helping someone out. Whatever he's doing, it's productive. So I just want to encourage you, build your husband up, build your boyfriend up, build your fiance up, build your mom, your dad, your sisters, build people up with your words. Proverbs 14:1 says, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. And it's just as Chantel said, your words speak life or they destroy. So how do you build your house? With words. Because your husband wants respect from you. So you can either destroy him with your words, or you could build him up with your words. So remember, people will follow your footsteps before they follow your advice. So are you building your husband up, or are you breaking him down?